الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا. صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. درود شریف پڑھ لیں. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, in the last session we covered some important points which show that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an was the most worthy to be the successor and the Khalifa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Initially what had happened is that the Ansar, who were the original inhabitants of Madinatul Munawwara, they put a proposal forward that we want one Amir from the Ansar and we will accept one Amir from the Muhajir. Now the reason why the Ansar put this proposal forward was not to break the tribal tradition of Arabia. The Muhajireen were immigrants, were new people that came to Madinatul Munawwara, and the Ansar were there for generations. And so according to the laws of the tribes in Arabia, it would not be right for someone who's a foreigner to take that position to be an Amir or a leader. And that's why the Ansar came with a suggestion that it would be better perhaps that if we would select one Amir from the Ansar and one Amir from the Muhajireen, be it Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an. The Muhajireen, who were the senior companions and those who were the first to embrace Islam in Makkatul Mukarramah, they rejected this proposal and they said that that would be impossible. To have two leaders would naturally mean that disunity will be there amongst the Muslim community, and we only want one Amir, one Khalifa. And with that, the Muhajireen even put forward the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they said that we have heard from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-a'immatu min Quraysh, that leadership will be with the Qurayshi people. When the Ansar heard the words of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a hadith mentioned, immediately they retracted and withdrew from their statement and their proposal, and they accepted that without a doubt the Khalifa has to be from amongst the Muhajireen, and that will be Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an. Now just to explain that this idea for the companions to select Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, it's not something that's coincidental or by chance it occurred that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq is a huge and a very strong figure amongst the companions, and he probably mustered up some support from the companions, and all of a sudden he was there at the right time and all of them gave him bay'ah, In fact, that is the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted for the ummah. That without a doubt, the Amir and the Khalifa after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the most worthy can only be Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an. Very important points were covered in the last session, but just to continue again, when we study the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one will notice that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a very different attitude with the Banu Hashim. Banu Hashim were the family members of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had a very different attitude with his own family members as compared to the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever there was danger or loss of something, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would always want his own family members to face danger or to take the loss. And if there was any gain or advantage, then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would ask his family members and the Banu Hashim to step back. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to see immense hardship and sacrifice from his own family members, so that no one would ever criticize Aliyazu Billah Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that someone in history would ever say that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came as a Nabi and Aliyazu Billah he empowered his own family members and his own family members took succession and they were the people who took control of Madinatul Munawwara. That was never the case. This was not the desire of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even logically, when you think about it, just to put in front of you a few examples, my respected brothers. Battle of Badr. The kuffar are there lined up, wanting to fight the Muslimin and the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of the veteran warriors of the Quraysh are there. And three of their warriors, great fighters, step out from the line and come forward. Mubarazah. And they challenge Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslimin. And they say to him, before we fight, these are the three strongest wrestlers in the camp of the Kufari Quraysh. And they challenge anyone from amongst the Muslimin for a duel match, for a wrestle match. And so who will accept our challenge? Three of them, wrestlers, fighters, warriors, step out from the line. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he wanted to protect his people, or if he wanted, or his own family members, and if Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted only safety for his family members, then this was the best opportunity for him to select other companions to fight the three warriors that came out. This was the most difficult situation, the Battle of Badr. There was every possibility that whoever came out to fight the three warriors from amongst the Quraysh could have been martyred. Could have been martyred. And look at the selection of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just to show you an example, that he did not want his family members to crave for status or for that position. As you'll find the detractors of the companions very often speak, that Aliyazu Billah, Hazrat Umar and Hazrat Abu Bakr were both companions who took control, and all of a sudden they pushed Hazrat Ali on one side and they took control and Hazrat Abu Bakr became Khalifa. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That is nothing but rubbish. Bakwas hai. That was never the case. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an was an incredible mujahid. If that was the matter, he would have been prepared to fight Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. But Allah's Nabi never ever wanted the family members to be in that position. And so who did he select? Whilst Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alive, three of the fighters out, three warriors come out. And he says, Ali, stand up. Why did he select Hazrat Ali? These were close family members to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Every father would want to protect his child. The father will say, no, don't do this, don't do that, because of that natural love. But look at the sincerity of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In history, no one must ever say that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam wanted to provide a cushiony life for his family members and for the Banu Hashim. But he said, no, Ali, stand up. The most dangerous moment. And then Hamza, stand up. All family members, very closely related to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, from Banu Hashim. Ubaidah, you stand up. And the three fight, the three warriors of the Kuffar, Quraysh. Again we see, these are glimpses from the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So that this very important understanding settles in the mind and in the hearts. So we understand the maqsad and the purpose of khilafat, which is so important. Another example, my respected brothers, one of the most important source of finance in the Muslim community is the avenue of zakat, the revenue that comes, helps a lot of the Muslims that are in need, the fuqara and the masakeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his beautiful kalam, in his glorious speech, إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَىٰ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ, that your zakat is only for the believers, for those who are the fuqara, and for those who are miskeen, those who are in need. And so if you are a miskeen and if you are a faqir, it is jais for you to take sadaqah. It is jais for you. Here sadaqah is translated as zakat. Sadaqah, innama sadaqah, as in zakat, zakat. Now, one very important ruling with zakat. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, for the Muslims, if they are poor and in need of financial support, zakat is jais for them. But anyone who is from the Banu Hashim, anyone who is from my family member, anyone who is closely related to me, even if he is a needy individual, a poor man, but he is related to me, zakat is unlawful for that family. How easy it was for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam to say, by zakat is also lawful for my family members. But we see the sincerity of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That no one in history can ever point fingers or point at Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam or his companions. That everything what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam did, al-iyazu billah, was only to empower his family members. That was never the case. And so he said, zakat is jais for everyone except for the Banu Hashim and except for those who are from the Sayyid family, the ancestry of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Many examples one can see in the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam invited Hirakal towards Islam, Hirakal, when he got the letter of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he consulted Abu Sufyan. Abu Sufyan at that time was not a Muslim. And so he said to Abu Sufyan, who was from Makkah, that Abu Sufyan, I receive a letter from a man who claims to be a Nabi in Makkah. Have you heard of Muhammad bin Abdullah? And he said, of course. Muhammad bin Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we have heard of him. And he is inviting me to be a Muslim. Subhanallah. Look at the mission of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The da'wah mission, which is so important. And nowadays, recently also you'll find the statistics that are given. 50,000, 100,000 have embraced Islam. MashaAllah, reverts. That is not enough, is it? That is not enough. Allahu Akbar. There is ample space in Jannah for everyone. There is ample space in Jannah for everyone. And so we are sincere people. We wish for everyone, mashallah, to understand the light of Islam, so that when they depart from this dunya, Allah gives them Jannah, inshaAllah ta'ala. Hidayat is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khair, Abu Sufyan says, before you give me any understanding of this man, a biased opinion with regards to Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He put a question forward to Abu Sufyan, and he said, Abu Sufyan, tell me one thing, is there anyone from the family of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam who is a king or a leader, or who is waiting to acquire leadership after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has appointed him in power and he is closely related to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Abu Sufyan said no. Hirakal, who was a scholar, and he said, that is good. Then there is some weight in the claim of this man who is Muhammad bin Abdullah. For him, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam for the companions. And he was a scholar, a learned man, a man who had studied history and the scriptures. And he knew for a fact that any man who claims to be a prophet will not want his close family members to be his khulafa, or someone that would succeed that Nabi, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Otherwise people would doubt the sincerity of that Nabi. People would doubt the sincerity of that Nabi. Because Hazrat Ali was very closely related to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was the son of Abu Talib. He was the son of Abu Talib. Very closely related to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Even Hirakal, who was not in Arabia, understood the importance of who should be the successor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So from all of these events we see, my respected brothers, the mission of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was that the Banu Hashim and those that are very closely related to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah's Nabi wanted to see a lot of sacrifice, hardship and difficulty and mujahada from his own family members. Allah's Nabi did not want fame and power and to empower them. That was not the purpose of the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. For an example, Hazrat Urwa has related an incident which is also in the Sahih of Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi. He says that I have heard from Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha says that after the demise of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, some of the wives wanted some portion of the inheritance of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Some of the wives. And so they were talking and they decided that we will ask Hazrat Osman radiyallahu ta'ala an to speak to the Khalifa, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, that the portion that is allocated for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam should be distributed amongst the wives of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, some part of inheritance. When Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha heard this, Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha said to the wives of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, she herself was the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that let me read in front of you the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And she said, I have heard from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying that we, as in the prophets, whatever they leave behind, it is charity and sadaqah for the Muslimin. Anbiya alayhim salatu was salam, whatever they possess, whatever is in their possession, they don't bequeath that to the family members. So there is no distribution, there is no taqseem. And only then the wives of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam understood, and they did not have any understanding of this hadith. Perhaps this is what the muhaddiseen have mentioned. And because Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha was very unique, and a lady who would narrate many of the ahadith and the sayings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. From all the events we see that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not want to give any advantage, any gain, any profit to the family members. You will also find a lot of the times people who don't have respect for Sahaba-e Kiram Ajma'in very often quote an incident which occurred between Bibi Fatima radiyallahu ta'ala anha عن حضرت أبو بكر صديق رضي الله تعالى عنه. What had happened is that Bibi Fatima رضي الله تعالى عنها was very very young. She came with حضرت Abbas. حضرت Abbas, the uncle of رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. She came with رسول حضرت Abbas رضي الله تعالى عنه to حضرت أبو بكر صديق رضي الله تعالى عنه when he was the Khalifa. And حضرت Fatima رضي الله تعالى عنها said that Amirul Mu'mineen, I ask from you the share and portion that has been allocated for my father, which is the land of Fadak, which is the land of Fadak. That land of Fadak should be given to me. And Bibi Fatima said, also the booty of Khaybar should be distributed. Now, this is in the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Hazrat Aisha is the narrator and she says, Inna Fatima wal Abbas ataya Aba Bakrin. Both of them came to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, and Bibi Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha is asking. Now Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an was a man who was prepared to give all of his wealth to Bibi Fatima radiallahu ta'ala an. He had the extreme love and respect for Bibi Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. But as a Khalifa, he had to act upon the Sharia and the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so he said to Bibi Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, Inni sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Inni sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That I have heard from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, La nurasu ma tarakna sadaqatan. Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam don't bequit. Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam don't bequit their inheritance. And whatever is left with the prophets, that is sadaqah. That is sadaqah. So Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an said to Bibi Fatima, possibly you might not have heard this hadith from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but these are the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and therefore I can't give you the land of Fadak or anything, the booty from Khaybar. And Bibi Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha heard the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and with all respect she did not argue with Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, and accepted his decision and she returned back at home. And that is about it. But you will find a lot of people painting a complete wrong picture. Oh, look at Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq taking control of wealth, aliyazu billah, and they don't see the other side of it. If he did not give anything to Bibi Fatima, he did not give anything also to the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which includes Bibi Aisha, his very own daughter. He did not give anything to Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, and he gave nothing also to the family members of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam because of the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anha was a man who had a lot of respect for Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anha, and the knowledge of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. For an example, when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away, there was concern amongst the Muhajirin and the Ansar as to where Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam should be buried. Some of them said that we should take Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam to Makkatul Mukarramah. Some of them even said to Baytul Maqdis, Arz-e Quds, and some of them said, no, Jannatul Baqi. And khair, there was a difference of opinion amongst Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'een. At that moment, it was Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an said, Abu Bakrin mu'tamanun ala ma ja'a bihi. And he said to the companions, we should take the opinion of the most trustworthy. We should take the opinion, and these are the words of Hazrat Ali. We should take the opinion of the most trustworthy, who is Abu Bakr, and whatever he decides is right. Ala ma ja'a bihi. And subhanallah, look at the knowledge of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. The knowledge that he had. And he would only quote the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam if Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'een did not have knowledge of that hadith. And so he said to all of the companions, أحد إلي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إنه ليس من نبي يموت إلا دفن حيث يقبض. And just to paraphrase that hadith, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that wherever a prophet passes away, that is the location where he is buried. Where a Nabi passes away, that is the location where that Nabi is buried. And so he said to the companions, I have heard this from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and therefore the resting place for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam should be the apartment, the hujra of Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Another very important event, often people quote this, that O Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an did not do bay'ah with Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an, but only after 6 months. That in Medina Munawwara, everyone took an oath, allegiance at the hands of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, except for Hazrat Ali. And he did not do bay'ah for 6 months. Subhanallah al-Azim. And he only did bay'ah when Bibi Fatima radiyallahu ta'ala anha was ill and when she had passed away. Again, these are the narrations of those who are the enemies of Islam. Who are the enemies of Islam. Ibn Kathir has narrated a very sahih narration. And this narration is so sahih that Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayh, we need to understand that when we look at the books of ahadith, people have a difference of opinion with regards to which is the most sahih. And the most sahih is Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. So we are talking about Sahih Muslim here. Sahih Muslim, Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayh asked his teacher Ibn Khuzaymah, who is the author of Sahih Ibn Khuzaymah, and asked him with regards to this narration, which Ibn Kathir has also taken, that what is the status and the strength of this hadith? Ibn Khuzaymah and Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayh have said that this is a hadith which is so strong, and in the words of Imam Muslim, it is as strong as a budana. It is as strong as a budana. And what is a budana? At the time of Hajj, people, when they sacrifice a camel, that is called a budana. That is called a budana. So to sacrifice a camel, that was the example that Imam Bukhari gave. Just when the Arabs wanted to show some strength, they would have certain examples they would give. And they would also give an example with the camel. Just to show how strong that narration is. And so, never mind 6 months, we have this narration. وَقَدْ جَاءَتْ رِوَايَاتٌ سَحِيحَةُ السَّنَدِ تُفِيدُ بِأَنَّ عَلِيٌ وَالزُّبَيْرُ بَايَعَ الصِّدِّيقَ فِي أَوَّلِ الْأَمْرِ. Two individuals, Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an and Hazrat Zubair radiyallahu ta'ala an. Abu Sayyid al-Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala an is the narrator. And he says, لَمَّا تُوَفِّيَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. لما توفي رسول الله, when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an sat on the minbar and everyone was around him. And Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an looked around to see if all the muhajireen were there and if all of the ansar were there. And he noticed that Hazrat Ali was not there. And Hazrat Ali was not there for another reason. Hazrat Ali was not there. He did not know that why everybody was gathered in the masjid. It was not time for salah. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq intentionally said to the companions that I don't see Ali. Go and call Ali for me. And so the companions went and they called Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an. Immediately Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an came. And Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq in the masjid said to Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an, that do you want disunity amongst the Muslims? And is that why you are not here in the masjid? And Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an said, La tasriba ya khalifat Rasulillah. Immediately he said, no. That is not the case. I did not even know that the companions have gathered here. And even before bay'ah to him, he labeled Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq as Khalifat Rasulillah. And he stood up in the masjid himself and he gave bay'ah at the hands of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an, and Hazrat Zubair ibn Awam also came and he gave bay'ah at the hands of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an. So Allahu Akbar Kabira, my respected brothers, whatever you read and whatever you hear, so you have to verify the source. Subhanallah, this deen is amanat, and whatever you take must have this unbroken chain of individual sanad. Is so important. You'll find people sitting and have beards and big pagri, and they'll say this happened and that happened and this happened and that pook and this pook, everything they will say. Allahu Akbar Kabira. But we have to, alhamdulillah, verify the sanad and the chain of narrators, and which is sahih, that there was no delay for Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an to give bay'ah to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an. Khair, the khilafat of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an, there was so much love between Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an and Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an. Just to give you a few examples, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an led the people to Salah, and after Salah he came out of the masjid, and the young children would perform their Salah at the back. And so Hazrat Hassan was already out of the masjid. So when Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an came out of the masjid, he saw Hazrat Hassan. So Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq chased him, as an Amir, chased him and quickly picked up Hazrat Hassan and put him on his shoulder. What did Hazrat Abu Bakr do? Put Hazrat Hassan on his shoulder. And the father, Hazrat Ali, was there. When Hazrat Ali was there, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala and looked at Hazrat Hassan and said, Ali, Hassan does not look like you. What did he say? Hassan, my son, does not look like you, but he looks like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, when I look at Hassan, I remember Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was the love sahaba-i kiram ajma'in had. Subhanallah al-azim. In fact, when Hazrat Ali got married, the preparation for the dowry that came was also from Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala. The apartment that was given to Bibi Fatima and Hazrat Ali, it was Hazrat Umme Salama and Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha that cleaned the entire apartment that was there and made sure that everything was right for Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an and Bibi Fatima radiyallahu ta'ala. This was the love they had. In the Khilafat, during the days of Khilafat, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an complained that he had a lot of pain in the stomach. There was a lot of pain in the stomach. Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an heard of this, and it was extremely cold. And so there was fire burning, and Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an came and he warmed his hands where the fire was burning, and he came immediately in the hujra of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an, and out of love and affection he put his hands on the stomach of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala. This is the love they had, my respected brothers. These were not individuals who had any hidden agendas. They were the most sincere individuals on the face of this earth. There was so much love between Hazrat Ali and Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an, that Hazrat Ali named one of his sons after Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. When Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq passed away, in the love of Hazrat Abu Bakr, he named one of his sons Abu Bakr. And he loved the family of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq so much that he took the son of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, whose name was Muhammad. His name was Muhammad bin Abu Bakr. Muhammad, the son of Abu Bakr, took permission and he adopted the son of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an and treated him like his own son. These were the companions, my respected brothers, who had a lot of love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Khair, there was not a lot of activity during the time of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an. It was all internal issues. Ulama have mentioned that Hazrat Ali would always remain in Madinatul Munawwara, and any important decisions that were taken were consulted mutually by Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq and the senior companions that were there with Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم نستغفرك ونتوب إليك سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.